Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here, Tuesday, August 21st. Here on The Huddle, ESPN Upstate, and Greg McKinney is on vacation, so he will be back tomorrow. So we will be back to full strength tomorrow as we're winding down the month of August and getting ready for college football. And we know there's a lot of excitement as there is a game actually this Saturday. Let's don't forget that. Hawaii at Colorado State, and you can catch that right here on ESPN Upstate. And so the season is really beginning. I know it might not be the glamour game that everybody is, you know, wanting to see, but at least it starts getting us in the taste of football. I mean, you can start smelling the grass out there. The air is getting a little bit cooler. It's still muggy out there, but at least the temperature is not too hot. So we know
there's
football's
that breeze,
right around the corner.
That breeze that makes you think of fall. I know you
agree.
Don't feel it, but
I know.
It's out there, and leaves are actually starting to fall in my yard. So.
Well, leaves seem to always fall in my yard 365 days a year. It's the craziest thing. It doesn't just happen in the fall in my yard. But your point is well taken, because I did go for a run this morning, and I could actually feel that type of breeze that you're talking about that would pop up throughout that run. And that just gets me excited, because I do love that type of feeling. I love when there's that Christmas crispness in the air in the morning. And unfortunately, though, sometimes it still does continue to get very hot. I know there are some extremely hot games in September and even in October in Death Valley. So, and I know it's the same way in Columbia as well. There can be some seriously hot games there. And it's interesting. I know there's also some reports that Will Muschamp has been talking about that he needs actually the heat to come back during practice, because they need to be prepared if those first few games are really hot. He wants the players to be ready for that. And we know there's a huge game September 8th against the Georgia Bulldogs. But right now, we know it's three questions at three. Let's hit it.
All right. I received these questions freshly in my hand, not moments ago.
Moments ago. I don't give you any time to formulate
to contemplate
an opinion.
Yeah.
I give you nothing. But that's the beauty of Lonzo. You're talented enough that you know enough, and you've got your opinions, and you can answer
very quickly. I believe in spontaneity, because I think spontaneity is...
We don't need anything scripted here.
Yeah, spontaneity is honesty. I mean, so if you go with the first thing that pops in your head, all right, let's go with the first question. Tiger Woods is ranked 20th in FedEx Cup standings. Will he stay in the top 30 to make the tour championship?
And there is a chance that he would not, because mathematically speaking, just based on how he finishes these last few tournaments, now that he has made the decision that he is going to play in these tournaments, that he could be left out and not be in the top 30. But I think right now, I think you're seeing Tiger Woods, the competitiveness really coming out. He felt that, you know, could he push himself a little bit? And he did that in the PGA Championship, the last major of the season, and how he finished that. I think that was significant for him to finish strong on Sunday. He shot a 64. Now, I know he had a bad tee shot on 17, but he still shot a 64, and it was Brooks Koepka that really kept him out of the opportunity of winning that major. And so I'm confident that Tiger Woods is going to be playing in Atlanta in the FedEx Tour Championship.
We have just seen Tiger Woods peak in his comeback. That was it. That's it. It's done. It's over with. Playing three in a row is also going to hurt him. Something in him, that spark, that tiger in tiger, that killer instinct, it's just not there anymore. He got that close, and he still lost it. And I think in his mind, something broke. I think now there's that doubt the doubt that's never been there for Tiger is in there, and I think he's going to flounder. I don't think he's going to make it.
And, you know, there are some people that have made the comment that after that PGA Championship where he does lose to Koepka, that it was almost like, hey, you know, second place was good enough. And that's not what we normally would see with Tiger Woods, is that he would not be the guy that would be there to help congratulate a guy who just won a major. But Tiger was. He was there as Koepka came off the course. And was that a sign that, is Tiger getting a little soft? So is that what you're referring to as well, Lonzo, that that was his moment, and now that made his season, and he's not going to have that competitive spirit for the rest of the time.
Tiger was intimidating. He was kind of a punk on the course. He was the guy you didn't want to be paired with on the last day because you couldn't handle the pressure. And even though he showed some sparks and it's made people be nostalgic and look, Tiger's back. There's just so much wishfulness, and he's not. He's just not going to do it. All right, question number two. More bets have been made on the Cleveland Browns to win the AFC North. Hard to read without laughing. Then the other three teams combined. Will the Browns win the AFC North? Here's the thing. You know, more bets are made on this because no one believes it. They want to make some money.
I get that. You know, yes.
And there's the guys out there saying, well, nobody else is going to be doing this. And then they find out that everybody else is doing it too. So they're not going to make any money when it happens, if it should happen. I'm not so sure they're not going to be competitive. I have said that I thought they were going to win six games. I've watched some of their preseason, not an entire game, but bits and pieces here and there. And I haven't been watching Baker Mayfield. I've been watching Tyrod Taylor because I thought, and I still believe, I remember when the trade was made, I said then that he would be the starter. I think
I do remember you saying that.
He wasn't given a fair shake in Buffalo as far as people realizing how good he is. And he is possibly the best quarterback to play in Cleveland in like 20 years. Now you got to look at who's played in Cleveland.
No, exactly. And see, I can't even keep up with the list. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, you would need a flow chart. There's a lot of guys that have played in Cleveland the last 20 years. He might be the best quarterback since Bernie Kosar. He might be.
Gosh, you're going way back.
Yeah.
But I get it, but that's how far we're going back. That's how many problems they've had with quarterback position.
But it's not just that. They've got a decent core of receivers, which might get even better with Dez Bryant. Whether you think he's great or not, he's definitely going to be able to add to the receiving core. Their defense is improved. They lost one of the best linemen of all time, but their line is decent. You look at the rest of the AFC North, Cincinnati's down. Baltimore, I don't trust Flacco. Watched them again.
Yeah, but you got
last
the Steelers
night.
There, though.
But I was going to say that's why I saved them for last. But the Steelers are still there. But Big Ben already got a concussion this year.
Oh, and he's aging. He's moving up there.
And is Mason Rudolph the backup or is somebody else the backup? I don't know.
Josh Dobbs is the second string, and then Mason Rudolph is third.
All right. So. Let's say something, I don't want anything to happen. Let's say something happens to Big Ben. Are you trusting Josh Dobbs to lead Pittsburgh to win? I'm just saying there's the possibility it could happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Pittsburgh's going to win that division, but it wouldn't shock me if Cleveland didn't end up second.
Okay, maybe second, but not first. I mean, this is insane that this is according to Caesars Palace sportsbook manager. There are more bets on the Browns to win the AFC North than the three other teams combined. The public likes the Browns, and I'm not sure why. And that's the same with me. Remember, I mean, this is the Browns team that has only won one game over the past two seasons. They were 0-16 in 2017.
You're in Vegas. You just hit the slots. You made some extra cash. You got 100. That you're willing to just throw down on some weird bet.
But doesn't that look like the worst bet?
I don't think so.
To win the AFC North?
I don't think that's the worst bet. I really don't. I, I Hey, you just made that 100. You didn't have it. Why not throw it down on Cleveland?
I guess. I'm just not buying it.
So you're thinking that all these people that are betting on this, they're all from Cleveland?
I don't even know if it's Cleveland fans that can have that much belief. This believe land, that was with the Cavaliers. I get that. But for the Browns, I just don't. I just don't see it.
My best friend in the entire world keeps tweeting at me, should I believe? I'm starting to believe. Should I believe? Every year I start to believe and you see what happens, but this year it feels different. So, and this is the biggest Cleveland fan I know and the biggest naysayer that I know. I mean, when you've been beat down so long and you've been a fan of a team that's been so bad for so long, I don't know.
I just can't see that they're going to make that type of turnaround, because I don't think that it's Tyrod Taylor and I don't think it's Baker Mayfield that have the ability to catapult the Browns to.
I think it all stems from the fact that Big Ben getting hurt already. If he goes down, I think Pittsburgh's in trouble. And if Pittsburgh's in trouble, I don't believe in Cincinnati and I don't believe in Baltimore. I
definitely do not believe in Cincinnati. They're a Jekyll and Hyde type of team. They'll win three and then lose seven straight. I mean, that's just the way the Bengals are. But I just don't see the Browns being the AFC North winners. I just don't see it happening.
I have said on the air, I believe many times, I think they'll win at least six games. But what if it only takes eight to win that division?
And there's your point. Made, and that's very valid, because I was going to say that it is also relative. Because what if the other teams are struggling as well? They could win.
I think we've seen some teams win at 7-9.
Yes, they could. And that is all reality. And if the Browns win seven games, you got to believe that's a magical season for the Browns, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely. All right, question number three. Ohio State will meet on Wednesday, which is tomorrow, to discuss personnel matters related to the Urban Meyer investigation. Will Urban be fired or suspended?
All right. I have gone back and forth with this. Initially, I was under the impression that Urban Meyer was going to be fired. And that was early on. I'm also the guy that firmly believes that you can change your opinion based on new information. Over the years, we know it happens also just in general. You look at things differently. You might mature a little bit differently. You might view it from a different lens, and you can change your opinion. So that's okay. And based on what I know now, information that I'm reading, I'm just gathering the same information that everybody else is, especially when I'm seeing that there are some sources reporting that it's likely a suspension for Meyer. My inclination now is that he is only going to be suspended. It's not going to be a firing. He's going to keep his job. And I don't even know if he's actually going to miss a game. Or if he does, it might be two games at most. And there's some of these sources reporting that it would be time served with this paid administrative leave. That would be his suspension, because he's been away from the team since the suspension came down on August 3rd. So you would have to view it from that perspective, that has he already served his time? So I think it's just going to be a suspension at best.
Well, I've said from the beginning I don't think he's going to be fired. And with this new light that could be possible suspension and time served, I think that's what's going to happen too. And I think tomorrow, Urban Meyer may be back on the field coaching.
Yes, I think so too. And I think that's where it could be. If it is time served, that they could say, hey, effective immediately, it's done. It's over. You know, Coach Meyer, get back out there and coach this team. And
of course,
we'll see what happens to the other people
that,
involved.
The things that spurred this whole thing, that's not over. But as far as Urban Meyer's part of it, if it's suspension and time served, I think his part is done. Then it moves up.
It is, yes.
And that means responsibility has moved up above him, and somebody above him is probably going to be gone, more than likely.
And I agree with you on that, is that it's hard for me to imagine a situation where somebody is not getting fired. And we know Zach Smith has gotten fired. I'm actually talking about some other type of administrative person? And could it be a Gene Smith? Could he be the one that is the athletic director that would take the fall here? And there's been some speculation that that's almost what they've been doing throughout this investigation, in conjunction with the investigation, actually talking about specific plans of how they can move forward. And would it be a Gene Smith losing his job, because it would be more important to keep Urban Meyer as the head coach than it would Gene Smith, the athletic director? And especially if it comes out with this investigation that Urban Meyer did follow all of the protocols that were in place, that he did notify his bosses about the situation. And then it looks like, you know, that the upper administration didn't handle it their proper way. So would they almost take the fall? And then would this be able to have a situation where everybody can just move forward, try to put this behind them and move on? And I think that's probably what we're looking at this point. But more information is going to be coming out, and we'll see how that plays out tomorrow. When we come back, the AP released their All-Americans for college football in 2018. That's next, right here on The Huddle, Richmond Weaver and Lonzo. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here on The Huddle, ESPN Upstate. And jump in, 844-477-3776. That's 844-GSP-ESPN. And don't forget the Health Dare text line, 71307. And make sure you use the keyword ESPN before you send that message, so we know that you're wanting to talk sports here on The Huddle. And also, remember radio.com. It's the radio.com app, and you can download that on any of your devices, whatever you prefer. If you're an Apple person or an Android person, just go to the App Store, download the radio.com app, and there in the favorites, you can select ESPN Upstate, and it'll automatically pull up each time that you open up the radio.com app and listen to The Huddle wherever you might be. You don't have to be tied to your radio. And that's one of the great things about technology. And Lonzo, I know I've probably talked about it before, that there's a love-hate relationship with technology, that I love all of the things that you can do with technology. But the hate part comes that you get so conditioned and programmed, because technology is working and making your life more efficient and more convenient. But when it doesn't work, it just adds stress in your life, because you're so consumed of, you've got to get the aspect of technology that's not working, you've got to get it working again. And you forget that, hey, life was functioning before some of this technology. And to your point, like on vacation, it's a good thing to unplug at times.
Well, I had a point this morning where I couldn't find my phone, and that was interesting.
How did you respond?
I looked in the freezer. I retraced my steps. I had just done my cardio for an hour, and I'm a sweaty mess, and I'm looking around, and it's like, where's my phone? What did I do with my phone? It turns out I never got my phone. I just left it plugged in and never got it. And I'm looking all over the place. I'm like, okay. So we still have a home phone, a regular, we don't really use it.
Regular landline.
We use it in case of emergencies, like in the case if you lose your phone. So I still can't believe that I remembered my cell phone number. Because I never call myself, and I never tell anybody what my number is. So I'm like, okay, all right. And then I remembered it, and it was just plugged in, and I never even thought to look there, because I thought part
you
of my
you thought for sure you had picked that phone up, didn't you?
Part of my routine when I get up, the first thing I do is check social media, because I got several different pages that I have, and I'm constantly updating things like that. For the station and for myself.
Yes.
Or stations, I should say. And that's usually the first thing I do. I didn't do that this morning. And, and I freaked out a little bit. And then I figured out where it was. But I looked in the freezer twice. I even moved some stuff around. And it's like,
just by chance that you
might have. I knew I had been in there.
Yeah.
Because,
of course. That's what I'm saying. Just by chance that you might have just, while you're picking something up out of the freezer, you just put your phone in there.
Well, you know, I like to start my day off with some tots. And I had gotten the tots out, and I put the tots back and thought maybe I put my phone in there too, but I did not. So.
Did not. Well, and that's my point is that, I mean, for a moment you were stressing out about your phone. And I get that. That's important. But how many years ago we didn't have cell phones and you didn't stress about it because you didn't have to worry about it.
You're right. I didn't. And the thing is, I work around technology every day. I mean, this building is highly technological. And sometimes things crash.
They do.
And it does make it hard to, since everything is so much about computers now, when they go down, trying to figure out a way. But I'm happy, and hopefully nothing happens in the next half hour, but I'm happy that where I've been in radio, like I think 21, 22 years, who knows now, that when I started, it was before all this stuff, so I know how to do things around it if things go down.
Yes. And that's a great skill to have.
People who are just starting.
A lot of people wouldn't know.
Yeah, people who are just starting now don't have a clue.
That's right. They wouldn't. Like, I wouldn't. I mean.
So if you're going to school for something, make sure you take a troubleshooting class if they have one. Those actually help a little bit. At least they get you to think, okay, this happened. What can I do to fix this? And in this case, like in radio, if something goes down, it's snap of the finger, you got to find something because dead air is a no-no.
Yeah, that is a no-no, and I'm trying to make sure that we don't have any dead air. So I'm trying to keep everybody in tune, plugged in, and entertained. And it's just I just think it's amazing how we rely so much on technology. But I think we also should try to take a step back at times. And when things don't go right with technology, just realize it will work itself out. We'll figure out a way because we have in the past. Switching gears here, the AP, we know, released their top 25 yesterday in college football. And was no surprise that Clemson was number two, Alabama was number one. What we also saw today was that now we've got the first team and second team AP All-Americans, and was curious how that would land in terms of correlating the two top teams and how many players would be on the first and second team respectively. Well, it ended up being Clemson and Wisconsin leading the way with three players each on the preseason first team, and Alabama and Wisconsin, though, had five players total on the first and second teams combined. And we know Wisconsin is up there as well. They're number four in the AP rankings and actually received a first place vote. So there's a lot of hype around Wisconsin right now with head coach Paul Christ and what they've got coming back. And so for the first team offense, quarterback is Will Grier at West Virginia. We've got running backs Bryce Love, who is probably the top Heisman candidate at Stanford, and Jonathan Taylor, sophomore running back at Wisconsin. On the offensive line, we've got Jonah Williams from Alabama, Mitch Hyatt from Clemson. We've also got Bo Benchoazel. I hope I'm even pronouncing that correctly. And that's a senior from Wisconsin.
The way you pronounced it was very cool. I just want you to know
okay. that. Nate Herbig, also from Stanford, and then Ross Pierschbacher from Alabama at center. You like that one too, right?
Sounded like Superman, Miss Chessbacher.
Anyway. Right. And then tight end is Noah Font from Iowa. Receivers, A.J. Brown from Mississippi, and another West Virginia player, David Sills the fifth. And that's just entertaining in itself that he's the fifth, which I think that's pretty cool. I'm all about family names. And then an all-purpose player, that is Miles Gaskin from Washington, and the kicker is Matt Gay from Utah. On the defensive side, you've got Nick Bosa from Ohio State, Cleveland Farrell from Clemson. Those are the defensive ends. Tackles, Ed Oliver, who from Houston is thought to believe the best player in the NCAA right now in college football. Then you've got Christian Wilkins from Clemson. Linebackers, Devin White from LSU, Devin Bush from Michigan, and TJ Edwards from Wisconsin. Cornerbacks, you got Greedy Williams from LSU and DeAndre Baker from Georgia. Greedy Williams, is that not an unbelievable name for a cornerback, a defensive player, greedy. You gotta like that.
No, that's a great name.
That
for
is
a
great name.
Player.
And Jaquan Johnson, a safety from Miami, Taylor Rapp from Washington, the other safety, and then Mitch Wisnowski, a senior, Wisnowski from Utah. Second team, you had actually Debo Samuel from South Carolina as all-purpose player. So it was great to see him recognized on an AP All-American team. Granted, it's second team, but that's still a great honor considering his injury last year. He missed a large portion of the season.
Yeah, he missed quite a bit of the season. That just tells you what the expectations are for him.
Oh, I would agree. And we've already talked about that. We know there's significant expectations for him, but it's good to see him there. And then finishing out on defense, we've got Raekwon Davis from Alabama. Then Dexter Lawrence from Clemson there at the tackle position. And, so it's one of those things that it's not always about the X's and the O's. It's the Jimmys and the Joes, and it's the usual suspects that we see not only on the rankings, but also it correlates over to the All-Americans because those are the impact players. When we come back, Coach Jeff Scott and talking about the offensive depth chart for Clemson, that's next right here on The Huddle. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo continuing here, and we're continuing watching some of this news unfold. If anybody's familiar with Post Malone, a rapper, big in the music industry right now and big on the scene, and he was just recently here in the Greenville area, performed at Heritage Park out in Simpsonville, and I know my kids went to the concert and had a great time, and you might not know who Post Malone is, but I imagine if you do have kids, they will know who Post Malone is. Or if there's some millennials out there, you know who Post Malone is. But apparently, it's been reported he's on a private jet, a Gulfstream 4, that took off from Teterboro Airport in New Jersey around 11 a.m. this morning, but it's being forced to make an emergency landing after blowing out its two front tires. Right now, they're circling, trying to apparently remove or burn off fuel right now before they try this emergency landing. And they've been diverted to Orange County, New York Airport for this landing. And there's a lot of reports going on in terms of when it's going to be. But it seems to be there's a lot of media setting up shop trying to get a glimpse of this landing that, again, reportedly has rapper Post Malone on board, along with 15 other passengers. So, I mean, this is hopefully going to end in a positive way, whatever landing this might be. But this is still going on right now, and we'll see what happens. And I actually watching video as we speak and seeing the plane land right now. We're talking live. I'm not sure if this is the plane that is in reports about the landing, but it has landed. And
yeah, I don't think that's it.
Has
it
landed successfully.
It
and I
has
see front
all its tires.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I do not think that was the airplane itself, because that did land safely with two front tires. One thing that we are in anticipation right now, not only of this, but let's turn to sports, switching gears a little bit. And that's with the Clemson football team and what the depth chart is going to look like. And we know when we're talking depth chart, there's obviously some points of contention in terms of who's going to be in particular positions. But at the end of the day, everybody wants to know what is the depth chart going to look like at the quarterback position, and who's going to be starting? Is it going to be Kelly Bryant, or is it going to be Trevor Lawrence? And there's a lot of debate going on, and should it even be questioned that Trevor Lawrence might be in discussion? And it would seem to me that there's been at least enough of the points out on the field that Trevor Lawrence has earned the opportunity to at least be in the discussion with Kelly Bryant as far as who should be the starting quarterback. But let's listen to what offensive coordinator Jeff Scott has to say about the depth chart and what it might look like right now.
I think it's sorting its way out. You know, we're about almost 3 weeks into camp, and it's starting to sort its way out. We've had, you know, obviously, last week was Thursday was our last full scrimmage. Good opportunity. We'll meet Wednesday as a staff. As school starts, we won't have practice. We'll meet to talk more about personnel. It's starting to work itself out. But really, all it's going to be whenever we get that depth chart, that's not the depth chart for the season. You know, that may be the depth chart going into the Furman game. And, you know, there's a lot of times, a lot of movement in that depth chart from the first game to the second game based off of production and how guys play. And our guys know that. But, yes, depth chart is definitely starting to come together.
So even however it comes about that what this depth chart looks like, and it looks like it's going to be announced next Monday is when they'll announce the depth chart for the Furman game. And maybe they will, I think from what the reports I read also based on some of the comments, that they'll know that before Monday, but that's just when they're going to release it to the media. So as they're starting to prepare, school starts, classes start tomorrow at Clemson, and that'll be a time where they'll really understand what the depth chart looks like and start working those players, those first teamers and second teamers, into those key positions, getting ready for the first game against Furman. So because we know it's coming up, and they've got to start game planning appropriately. But I think it's accurate what Coach Scott is saying. Just because the depth chart comes out next Monday for the Furman game, that doesn't mean that that's set in stone for the rest of the year. And I think they're understanding that, hey, the depth chart can change based on performance out on the field.
You know what? I'm predicting for quarterback, 1A and 1B.
And I think that's what a lot of people are saying, is that there's going to be you're going to see a lot of Kelly Bryant and you're going to see a lot of Trevor Lawrence in that first game. And for them, is it that close of a race that they're going to need the play on the field to see what type of separation that's going to occur? Because I still believe, though, that you can't be as successful with a two-quarterback system. And I'm talking, you know, where a quarterback goes out there for a series and then you bring in another quarterback for a different series. I just don't think that can be successful.
But listen, no offense to Furman, but it's Texas A&M that you're playing in the second game, right?
That's right.
So they're just looking. So you don't want them to know who you're starting. So you go 1A, 1B, play them both against Furman, and then let them guess about who's going to start coming out for Texas A&M.
And that could be valid. The situation that I would have is
you wouldn't play with it. I would play with it.
Well, here's the thing.
Because everybody wants to
know.
They
have no film on Trevor Lawrence. So, I mean, if you feel that Trevor Lawrence is going to be your guy, you have Trevor Lawrence as your guy. But if you feel Kelly Bryant is your guy, you have Kelly Bryant as your guy. And I understand that it's okay to play them both in the Furman game. And again, this is no offense to Furman, because could you imagine though if Furman comes out there and creates a miracle like Appalachian State did against Michigan years ago? And I know Diesel loves that. But this is an opportunity where they can try to see what type of play you're going to get out of some of these guys in real live action. And that's what's going to be interesting to see as we continue going down that road. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo coming right back after this break. Richmond Weaver and Lonzo here, finishing up the huddle right before 4 o'clock, and just keeping eyes on the Post Malone plane and if it's going to land. And I know some people probably have no idea who Post Malone is, but he's a rapper, a musician, and a very popular musician these days. There's won a Grammy, and again, if you don't know who Post Malone is, if you have kids, I guarantee you they do. So we're still watching this. Again, the report is that he's on board with 15 other passengers of a private jet that is going to have to make an emergency landing because they blew out their two front tires on takeoff, which again is bizarre to me that tires could blow out on takeoff, not on touchdown. But that is the report right now, and that they're scheduled at some point to make a emergency landing at Orange County, New York Airport after they're circling right now to try to use up fuel before they do make that landing. Another very popular person right now, and that's somebody who only played limited games last year in the NFL, and that's Deshaun Watson. Lonzo, I don't know if you saw that Sports Illustrated has released their NFL preview 2018 magazine, and on the cover is Deshaun Watson.
There's no curse involved with this, is there? I mean, you know, because there are, in, like, the Madden cover and things like that. I don't think so. I'm not trying to put anything on anybody.
No, I'm just curious. I completely understand, and not to my knowledge, no curse on a preview aspect for Sports Illustrated. So hopefully, as a Clemson fan, I'm hoping that that does not happen. But it just shows you that what we're seeing in the NFL, just the how people just gravitate towards the quarterback and the value of the quarterback, of how important the quarterback position is in the NFL. And for Deshaun Watson to be on the cover with, I mean, we've got guys in the NFL that seem to be, you know, much more established. I mean, he only played in 7 games. Now, he was on a record-setting pace, but it just shows you again that not only are they looking for another star to have that baton passed from the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, the Drew Brees, I mean, those type of guys, they're wanting to pass it on to another quarterback. And could it be Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans that this is where it's going? And for him to be on the cover, that just shows you again the value of the quarterback in the NFL. Thank you for listening. It's Richmond Weaver and Lonzo right here on the huddle. GMAC will be back tomorrow, so we'll be full strength on the huddle at 1 o'clock. But right now, get ready for Straight Up with Sturge.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.